So welcome to whatever the session name is, best something, proactive support for Link server. So thank you. So good sign. Yes, no, proactive support for Link server. So my name is Nick Rosenfeld. I'm a director for Link Online support on the CSS side. And so I'm the guy whose team really answers the phone, especially for Office 365, anytime you have any questions. And so our number one goal, of course, is taking care of the customer, the partner, whoever has that problem at the other end, and getting the issue fixed as quickly and efficiently as possible. So that's our number one goal, no question. Second, though, and might be a little counterintuitive, but it's really to put ourselves out of a job. We really don't want customers to have to call for support. We don't want you to have problems with our services, our products, and we want to do everything in our power to really enable you to solve issues yourself or ideally not have the issues in the first place. And so how do we do that? And we do that through a variety of ways. We do that through understanding the types of issues that we see that customers call about and giving some good feedback and working with the engineering teams on making vNext better and more reliable and more easier to deploy and support and so forth. We also do it through IP and making sure that there's the right content in our knowledge base and TechNet and every online resource out there for you to be able to identify, know, have all the knowledge at your fingertips before you deploy or when you need to start troubleshooting a problem. And then the third is how can we automate that, make it as easy as possible, and have these tools that really run against the environment and identify potential known issues that are going to cause problems before they cause an outage. And that's what we're here to talk about today is a variety of those tools. And so I'm here with my esteemed colleague, Mr. Keith Hanna. Don't let him get off the hook. He is the esteemed co-author of the Mastering Link books, and so he's got a copy to give away. So let's make sure he doesn't forget. I know he doesn't want to haul this back to the UK. So. So with that, I think from an objective perspective, we want to talk about some of the tools more than others, but we'll hit quite a few. But I think the two big ones we're going to talk about are RAP as a service. There was a deep dive this morning. I don't know how many of you were in that session. We'll also talk about System Center Advisor in a good amount of detail. And then we'll touch on the evolution of BPA and something called Support Diagnostics. And Keith will take you through a bunch of the resource kit tools that you may have used, you may not. And they're pretty useful, but we're pretty sure that they don't have the usage that they really should out there. So that's one of the goals of this session. But more than just knowing about the tools and kind of what they do, we want to go a little bit deeper and make sure that you understand how they work and the architecture underneath them so that you can really make a good informed decision on which one's right for your environment. And so from an agenda perspective, System Center Advisor, I'll kick that off. Then we'll go into, very quickly, BPA and kind of what's next in the best practice analyzer space, Support Diagnostics, and then I'll turn it over to Keith. He'll talk about a variety of ResKit tools, and then he'll spend some time talking about RAP as a service or Link RAS. And then finally, Keith will really bring it all together because we're showing you a lot of proactive tools and start to answer the question of, which one's right for me? What are the key differences between all the tools and what do I use? And maybe what combination of tools do I use? So, System Center Advisor. Were any of you in my session last year on System Center Advisor at the Link Conference? All right, so one person, okay. You didn't understand it? All right. So I clearly did a very good job of articulating the value prop for System Center Advisor. That said, we'll talk a little bit about the service and we'll focus on some of the new things that have evolved in the past year. So Link 2013 support, that's finally there, so it's no longer just a 2010 story, but also the integration with SCOM, which makes it much, much more attractive of a solution if you're looking at the enterprise and you have large deployments. And so we'll do a demo of how that works together. So for those of you that don't know about System Center Advisor or don't remember, or didn't understand, I'll try again. So System Center Advisor is a cloud health assessment service, and that's really the branding or the name that we go by or the description. And it's something that sits on your Link, your SQL, your Exchange, your SharePoint servers or Windows, and really monitors the environment from a configuration standpoint. And periodically, twice a day by default, we'll send that custom configuration about your deployment to a service that's built, hosted, and run by the System Center product group at Microsoft. So that sits in Azure. We send the configuration up. And then we display what we think about the environment and what are the possible risks and warnings and errors in an easy-to-consume fashion. And so that fashion can be a simple Silverlight dashboard, which we'll go into in the demo, or it can be your SCOM console if you have that SCOM integration and you're looking for that one-stop shop for all of your monitoring needs. So benefits and features. There we go. The bread and butter of System Center Advisor is to identify an issue before it causes an outage. So a simple example is, hey, I have a certificate that's going to expire. It's not expired yet. Your users have no idea that there's problem looming out there. But if you don't take care of it, you're going to take an outage. And it sounds basic, and we have event logs for it, but I'll tell you what, on the support side, we take calls every day because of a certificate that's expired. So we're trying to make that easy, tell you as an administrator, this is going to happen. It's going to be a warning if it's, you know, 20 days out. If it's within a week, it's going to be an error. And we have content that tells you exactly how you can go resolve that issue so that you don't take that outage. So that's a basic example. Software that's going out of mainstream support. You know, you may not be keeping up on all of the KBs out there and so forth, so it's good. If you're running one of those versions, we're going to let you know. There's a hotfix that we highly recommend that's way beyond WSUS, and maybe it's for a related technology, so a SQL fix, but that we recommend highly if you're running Link, that's a good mechanism to tell you about that. So while that's the first and foremost is really proactively avoiding configuration problems, this is also a tool that you can use to reduce downtime or to help resolve issues faster. And the way we do that is through something called the historical context. So on the previous slide, I showed you and mentioned that every 12 hours, we push configuration information up to the cloud. Then 12 hours later, we do that whole discovery again, we send it up. That makes it really easy to tell what changed. I think we're all the same, right? We're all in the same line of business, and if we're troubleshooting an issue, I don't care if it's with grandma and her printer or with an experienced Link admin, you know, the first question we asked is, did it ever work? And if that answer is yes, what changed? Well, this helps you answer the what changed because we have that snapshot that we take every 12 hours. It's not going to tell you that Keith changed this setting at 1:32 a.m., but it'll tell you this particular setting was changed from true to false or what have you in the last 12 hours. That's a huge step in the right direction when you're troubleshooting a problem that of something that was working and all of a sudden stopped. So I mentioned that this comes from the System Center product group and the System Center team. So this may not be a surprise. This is built on top of Management Pack technology underneath the hood. You don't need SCOM. We'd love you to run SCOM. System Center Advisor is not a real-time monitoring solution. System Center Advisor is that best practice configuration solution where SCOM is that synthetic transaction, hey, something's down now, take action. So they work better together, and we'll keep talking about that. But that said, it's all Management Pack technology underneath the covers. So in its basic form, you can install System Center Advisor by installing an agent, which is just a lightweight install, on every machine that you want to monitor via this service. And those machines can be on a private network. They don't have to be have access to the internet. And the way we do that is that there's a separate install that you can call the gateway that you can put on the edge or on an internet-facing box. And so the agents will run that discovery every 12 hours. They'll push the information to the gateway, and the gateway, in turn, will push it up to the System Center Advisor service, which aggregates the information, and then will display the updates in the portal. And then there's also a pull mechanism where the gateways will look for new configuration points, so new data that we get just about the environment. That could be a new get commandlet that we shipped in an update that we want to make sure and gather, and then new rules as well. So those are continuously, as they're published, will get pulled and then pushed to all of the agents in the environment. Now, I've mentioned a couple times System Center Product Group, and so we have a full engineering team and ops team running the service. They don't have that domain knowledge in the product at hand, in this case, Link. And so that's where our team comes in, my team comes in, where we have the advantage of really seeing all the support calls across online, on-premises. If there's a Link case and you call Microsoft support, you'll get to our team. And so we work with customers of all sizes that use our products in different ways in different regions. And so we have a lot of data. And so we have a pretty good idea of what the top issues that people are likely to hit are. And that's really how we determine what rules to author. System Center Advisor really going for those biggest bang for the buck. Hey, we want it. This isn't a tool that's going to tell you, hey, you may have this issue, kind of, sort of. No, it's, you know what? You're configuring it a particular way. We know this can cause a problem. We're going to alert you about it. We're going to give you content. And then you can make the educated decision on if there's something in your environment, why it's configured this way, or if you should take action. And a lot of times, you probably should take action. So the connector for SCOM, I'm pretty excited about. This is it's not a preview anymore. It's RTM'd. This is a free download that works with SCOM 2012 SP1, and I believe you need to be on RU2 or above. I think they're on RU5 in SCOM these days. But this is what makes System Center Advisor really a palatable or a good enterprise solution. Recently find out this is not just Link, this is many workloads, but the biggest deployment that we have is a customer that's got 1,600 agents running around their environment. So that's a good size enterprise. It's running System Center Advisor. That's a SCOM attached scenario. Could you imagine having to go to the 1,600 servers and manually push out and configure the agents? Not a great solution. Now, with SCA as an attached service, you don't have to do that anymore. So the easy enablement is number one. Just from SCOM, you can register the management group with the service, and you can select which machines you want to monitor, and that agent will be pushed out just like you would with regular SCOM monitoring and installed underneath the hood. You don't have to go to every box to take care and configure and download your certificate and all that good stuff. The other advantage is really being able to view all your alerts, whether they're real-time alerts from SCOM or whether they're best practice configuration alerts from Advisor. You see them all in one place. You have one-stop shop for all your monitoring needs, which is pretty powerful. And then in turn, you can take advantage of the automated ticketing and notification and all those added features that you get from Ops Manager. So how does that attached scenario work? Let's see this. All right, so first of all, very basic scenario here. You can see that you've got some machines on probably a private network that are being monitored, and then the management servers. And so you sign up an onboard advisor directly through SCOM once you install the connector, and we'll walk through it in the demo. And then that management group is registered in Advisor. You select which agents to opt in, so which all my Link servers, all my Exchange servers, a subset for whatever reason, if you don't want to install the agent on some. And it'll go and install those. And then the management servers will download the certificate and push that out to the advisor management packs. Those are downloaded by the agents. And then the agents do their scan. And so they do their scan, and they package all the information in a cab file. That cab file is pushed up to the management servers, who then push it up to the System Center Advisor service. Now, I know what's being sent up is a common question, and there's a privacy statement online that you can read. We don't use this information for anything else. We're not going to validate whether you have licensed software, all that good stuff. And what's in the cab file is all XML data. It's plain text. You can even configure to archive all the information for how many days, up to, you know, as many as you can archive it all for a year if you want. I think the default's 5 days. But you've got that text data that you can read and review that's being uploaded. All right, so with that, I just wanted to do a bit of a demo. And so we'll start with the SCOM scenario. Oops. There we go. So we'll do SCOM first, and then we'll look at the website. But you can see here that bit of a resolution problem. So I've got System Center Advisor, and we'll go with this. But System Center Advisor, and this is where you can opt in for the first time, and it'll take you to the website, or just to really a little frame in Ops Manager, where you can give your deployment a name, and really tie it to a Microsoft account or an org ID account, and then really go through the wizard, which is pretty straightforward. And then that's where on the next screen you can go, and you can see that in this environment I have 18 or so servers that are enabled for System Center Advisor. And so this is where you can go to the properties and view the configuration, which will take you to the website, or you can add another machine. But from the monitoring standpoint, You now have a new node called System Center Advisor, and so you can see all of the System Center Advisor alerts directly here in your Ops Manager console. And they're, of course, rolled up into the all active alerts. And you can do things like ignore them, and I'll show you through the website. Hopefully, we'll have a bit better view there on how to do that through the System Center Advisor web portal. But here you can see that it's your one-stop shop. You could do it all from SCOM and an interface that you're familiar with. So with that, let's see if we can sign in here. This is systemcenteradvisor.com. This is where you could get started if you don't have SCOM or if you want to log into the website, the portal to view your alerts. So I have mine tied to a Microsoft account. And need new glasses. There we go. All right, so you'll see it load. I have two different environments that I can select. So this is pretty good for the consultants out there that work with many customers that you may install System Center Advisor with. You can tie them all to your same account, and then when you log in, you can choose which one you want to see. So we'll go to both environments. We'll start with LinkConf here. And you can see the overview screen where you see the topmost five alerts. You can see how many servers you have in the environment. You can see the warnings, the errors, and so forth. And just those most recent five alerts, so somewhat useful. But a lot of times you want to drill down, see more alerts, which you can sort by class. You can see there's a lot of SQL ones, because again, this is not just a Link solution. This looks at a lot of the different workloads. And you can see here that a run as account hasn't been set. That's because for Link and SharePoint, to be able to do full discovery and run all the commandlets and learn all about your environment, you need to configure a run as account. Advisor's meant to be easy. It's not meant to be, hey, go read this big book to go and deploy. So if you forget to have the run as account, we have a rule for it. It'll tell you exactly what you need to do. And every article has every rule has a link to an article that was specifically authored for System Center Advisor. And so it's all meant to be very, very actionable. It also gives you information here, and the run as rule is not a good example of it. But for example, if we tell you that a copy of a database is out of date, we'll tell you exactly which one and the server name. And so everything kind of at your fingertips to know why that particular rule was triggered. You can vote, hey, this alert was useful, this alert wasn't useful. We actually look at that data. If we get a lot of rules where, hey, this wasn't useful, or if a lot of customers ignore a particular rule, because you can do that. You can say, you know what? I get it. You have this rule, but it doesn't pertain to my environment. There's a reason why we're configured in a particular way. You can ignore it so that you never see it again. We review this data on a monthly basis, and if there's rules that are ignored a high percentage of the time and a high percentage of the times they fire, we'll evaluate that. We may pull that rule because if it's not adding value to most of the customers, maybe it's not a good System Center Advisor rule. The other thing that you can do, there's a lot of transparency here, manage rules and alerts. You can see available rules, and this is for every product, the 350 rules or so that exist. You can see exactly which ones, and this is the hyperlink to the article that has to do with the particular rule. So you can see that at any time in System Center Advisor, so there's absolutely no mystery there. All right, and then there's the configuration. So I'm going to switch to see the configuration to the SCA attached environment, and then we can look at the historical context as well. So when you look at this configuration information, you can do it by server. So here I only have two in the environment, so I can look at Link SE, and this is all of the info that we gather for Link. And you can see that a lot of these correspond directly to probably a get commandlet, and we run not all, but a large portion of the get commandlets in Link. And so you have this one-stop shop to see all the information, whether it's a server level or whether it's a pool setting or a site setting and so forth. Some of them don't map to a specific commandlet, and they're things that we've created because customers have either asked for it or because we know that they're useful, or we think they're useful, I'll say. Voice configuration, and so this is a small test environment, but you can see the number of EV-enabled users, the number of normalization rules and voice routes and all that in the environment. In one-stop shop through that, configuration snapshot explorer. The other one which I talked about is, hey, what happens when there's a difference in the snapshot? And that's where the historical context comes in. So if I wanted to look at my Link SE server, and let's say I want to know when QoS was changed, I can do a search. Notice that was pretty fast, huh? And you can see that we have a class called media configuration. We track enable QoS, and then the value was changed from false to true, and I know that it was changed on this date at this time. That's the date and time where it was detected, so one can assume it was in that previous 12-hour period. And so that's certainly helpful when troubleshooting these issues. All right. And then finally, here you could see this is an old environment. I have a healthier one on the link.conf where you could see the number of agents, the last time that they reported, uploaded data, and so forth, and in one spot. And then you can assign folks. So if you're a customer, you want to give your partner access and so forth. It's not a very granular permission model, but you can give you only or you can give admin rights, which would give admin rights to add more agents or change configuration in System Center Advisor. And then you'll get weekly email summaries of all the alerts and all that to the accounts that are added here. So, all right, so let's go back to the deck. So as far as availability, English only, however it's available in a lot of countries. That list is, more countries are added to it. This is kind of a standard list for a lot of the online services, but it is English only today. And then the cost, we did kind of a bigger announcement last year at LinkConf. I think now most people, if you've heard of System Center Advisor, you know, but if you didn't, it is free. There's absolutely no costs. There's no, there's no catch. Didn't start out as that when it first launched for other products, but it really evolved to being a completely free offering. So it's not for only Premier customers. It's really everyone out there. So hopefully you'll go and give it a try. All right, BPA and support diagnostics, which is pretty quick. You all are probably familiar with the best practice analyzers. We've had them for a long time. SQL's had one, Exchange, Link for several versions. When we look at the Office 365 products, so SharePoint, Link, and Exchange primarily, we're really looking to evolve that and to build a best practice analyzer that's called O365 BPA, but that has knowledge of both your on-premises environment and then the back end and the cloud solution. And so the idea here is to build a BPA that really knows both and that's a good tool to use in those hybrid deployments and that can check things like ADFS being misconfigured but also has some knowledge of the back end and can correlate some of the information that you have that you have in your environment, maybe on the on-premises workloads or pieces and correlate the two and fire alerts. So Exchange is the one that's furthest along. There is a beta that's... for Office 365 customers, you can go and download and try that out. For Link, I will say that we're actively adding rules and we're looking to contribute to this, so certainly look for announcements around O365 BPA and Link added as a workload. All right, and then finally, before I turn it over to Keith, I want to talk a little bit about something called support diagnostics. This is something that evolved from work that we built for ourselves, for our support teams, a couple years ago. We found that when we troubleshoot issues, whether it's a voice issue in Link or a client issue, we get the same logs and we want the same settings and we want the same information every time from customers. And so it's pretty tedious to go and save out all the log files and zip them up and send them to support. And so we wanted to create an automated way that would package these up into a cab file that you could run, couple clicks, gather everything you know we'll need, and you could send it up. But that platform continued to evolve to where we had the ability to build logic and rules within these packages. And so we've gotten to a point where we published these maybe 2 years ago on a portal called Fixit Center Pro. Wasn't the prettiest portal out there, if you remember, but it was a first stab at getting these packages out there. Why do you have to wait until you have a problem and that you open a support case with us to be able to use this? There's a lot of value in just a Link admin out there that wants client information to be... You need the same data that CSS needs, right? Why can't you use these automated packages? Send it to your user, it gathers the information, and they can send you the cab file. And then with a bonus, we now have the ability to add rules to it. And so as we've developed these packages, we have 7 for Link that are out here on the web. We have 66 across technologies. They're pretty targeted. So we've moved beyond just a Link client and a Link server one. There's a voice one. There's a conferencing one. There's a sign-in and authentication. And so that lets us already, from just which package you select, we have a pretty good idea of the type of problem that you're troubleshooting. And so what that means is that we can put targeted rules that have to do with that scenario. So if we have a conferencing issue that we can detect via these log files, let's create a rule in the package itself and only in the conferencing package, so we won't spam you if you run a voice one or something else. And we'll tell you, hey, we found this issue. Here's a link to the KB. Here's how you go fix it. And hopefully you can fix that issue without having to call support. And so home.diagnostics.support.microsoft.com. It's not an elaborate site, but it's a lot cleaner than the Fixit Center Pro site. There's even packages that collect memory dumps in Windows, and so there's some rules to potentially identify issues based off of dump files and patterns in dump files, things that people, most administrators out there don't know how to look at, don't know how to find the symbols, and maybe have no interest and no time to go invest in. So we're continuing to invest in this. I think it's just one of the many tools that we want to get as much knowledge and automation and best practices, from us, from our support teams, over to all of you. So with that, I will turn it over to Keith.
Thank you, Nick. You're supposed to do your demo now. There we go. So as Nick briefly introduced me, I'm Keith Hanna. I'm an architect within our Premier Services team. It's my role to develop and release to our fields, our Premier Engineering fields, the offerings, proactive workshops that some of you may have attended as customers, but also some of the offerings, the likes of RAS, that I'll talk about in a second. And yes, I also have written a book or two that we'll give away later. So excuse me. The first thing is resource kit tools. So who's heard of or used the resource kit? A couple of nods. Yeah, most people. Okay. So generically, resource kits in days gone by involved a book not dissimilar in size to that thing. But also a set of tools that were downloads. The book tended to go into a lot sort of deeper depth than some of the training that was available, the TechNet articles and such. But the tools, and it's really going to be the tools we're going to talk about here. They initially evolved from there a bunch of really useful tools. We need to get them to customers, and how can we get them to customers? There wasn't necessarily a common thread between them, so you can see from the slide there. They're all for different phases of the life cycle. Each tool tends to be an individual tool. It does one job, and then there's another tool for the next piece. And you'll see that, some of the ones that we've called out here. But the different phases of the life cycle, really, we're focusing today on the operations and the reporting capability. So we're not trying to troubleshoot things. We're not trying to design things and check some of the configuration bits. Support is very much as is. If it works in your environment, fantastic. That's what we meant it to do. If it didn't work in your environment, sorry, it's not a supported product. We can't really help you. There's bound to other people. Search the net, you'll find people will have the same problems and solutions to those problems. But they are very targeted tools. So loosely speaking, within Link, although we don't call them all resource kits, I've bundled them here. They're all useful in the same sort of way. We have the resource kit tools itself, which is the packaged tools that we'll go through specifically here. Persistent chat, anybody using persistent chat? One person, a little bit. Okay, so persistent chat, group chat in Link 2010 and previously. It's now, customers are starting to deploy it more. I think that's probably because the clients are now merged into a single client. It's easier to use. But we have a dedicated resource kit for that. There's a couple of tools we'll call out. We don't have any screenshots, but we'll mention about what they do. They're very useful when it comes to monitoring your chat environments. And then finally, the RASCs. Anybody heard of the RASCs? Deployed them, used them? Yep, so a couple of hands, a couple of nods.
What's in them? Were you going to talk about that a little bit?
Not really, just very briefly. Okay. So the RASCs, as they're called, Rollout and Adoption Success Kits, they're really aimed at trying to get user training and enablement. And certainly the guys at the back can definitely talk about it from the training side of the business. Not Microsoft, must be said, but it's about bringing, how can we make a rollout successful? The likes of Link, OCS, LCS in the past, or IT projects typically, we need to expand them. It's the users that will make or break these deployments. We're talking about things there like little flyers that you can leave out, posters, communication emails, project plans, all the sorts of stuff that are going to be useful. Really, any successful project is going to need, but quite frankly, most people don't have time to create it. So we've put a lot of it together. It is useful. I think in the previous one for 2010, we even had T-shirt templates that you could print and give to people, but I'm not sure if that's in the 2013 one now. So the proactive tools we're going to look at are I've sort of called out here. Most are around network configuration, either bandwidth, called mission control. Some detailed analysis. It's more, although DB Analyze has a couple of functions in it, we're really talking about the proactive, looking at the conferences, the users, and numbers there. Response Group Agent Live is not an admin tool, it's a user tool, but I think it's very useful. It makes response groups very easy for users to use. Excuse me. And then the two chat portions. Monitoring summary and the usage reports are all about how is chat being used, how many people are in each of the chat rooms, what's the average number of messages, message size, all that sort of thing. So we don't have those here, but I did call them out for that purpose. So bandwidth policy service monitor. Here we're starting to look at called mission control and the capability of within link being able to control whether calls are allowed on your network or not. You don't actually have to apply the policies. I do recommend turning it on, being able to track this data. It's enabled by policy, but there's also another command that needs to be run to enable login so we can capture those logs, and we'll see how those can be used in the next tool. But here, it's just a screenshot. In this particular environment, we have a couple of servers on the left-hand side, and we have a couple of links. The one that's highlighted, if we drilled into this, there were no calls in this environment, so everything looks at zero, but it highlights the policy that's applied, also the current calls that are going across that network link. So all the called mission control data is being replicated around the environment. We can see at any point how we've defined our links and what traffic is being traveled across that. And it works both for audio and video data. So it's a very useful tool to give you a view of what's going on your network. So looking at it, that tool looks at the snapshot, what's happening right now. We can refresh it and get a view. But the utilization analyzer, on the other hand, generates reports over time. So this is where the logging becomes useful. So we capture the logs from called mission control. And we put them, simply put, into a spreadsheet, and we can have a lot of filters on this. So this is a sample. It's not particularly interesting. It's a couple of flat graphs. But the areas that are highlighted in red are filters that we can apply. So things like by site, by region, by policy groups. We can start to see how our environment has trended across time. Do we need to consider additional network capacity in the future? Are we going to add in extra users? We can start to make those calls. So DB Analyze really is it's a command line tool, so I don't have any screenshots. It's just too hard to read on these screens, but have a look at it. Look at some of the data that we get out. Things like disk fragmentation, looks at the SQL databases behind it. Conference usage, user data. Conference usage and user data, you need to be specific in terms of it will look at a single user or a single conference. But it does give lots of data around that, the size of the files that are attached to it, and that sort of thing. The one thing I would call out, if you do go back to use this, is the documentation behind it is wrong. There's a typo. It refers to the RTC databases. We need to change it to RTC local. But that's one of those supported. You find it as it is. You need to find that out yourself. But it does work. It gives good reports out of that. Network Configuration Viewer. This, again, goes back to called mission control. You may have looked at your policies that you have in place, your networks, your subnets, your site names, all those sorts of things, regions. Can be quite hard to read. In the control panel, link control panel, it's on several different tabs. You have to keep going back and forward, see what's going on. This allows us to see a graphical view. So here, we can see all the regions, the links between these regions. The sites, we can expand these gray boxes. We can expand to see the next level of detail in there. So we'll see things like subnets that are applied to each of those sites as well. Down the left-hand side is just simply the policy that you would see. It's XML format, but it's just taken straight out of that topology file. And then the final one is Response Group Agent Live. As I say, this is the only one that isn't an admin-based tool. It's users. So if you have users who are in response groups and use them actively, this tool I find very, very useful. Allows users to sign in and not sign out. This is what it looks like. It shows you here on the left all the response groups this user's a member of. What other members are in the response group that we've highlighted, in this case the RGS team here, the status of each of them. We can hover over any of our response groups. We'll see the number of calls in the queue. So it's not trying to be a supervisor type thing, but it gives a level of detail that agents can often find useful, as well as the sign in and sign out type capability. So the final tool package offering that we're going to talk about is RAS, or RAP as a service. Has anybody heard of RAS? One nod who was in the session this morning. Another nod here. Link RAS or other technology RASs? Link RAS, okay. So RAS itself is a platform that we have there. As a service kind of gives that away. It's been developed over the last couple of years. We have a short video, which I think starts automatically. No, it will not.
Lately, you've had a little trouble sleeping, or eating, or thinking, or blinking. A few weeks ago, a bunch of servers crashed, which meant downtime, frustrated people, and $1 billion wasted. Things are up and running now, and everything seems fine. But what if it happens again? There's that risk assessment program you're used to, but it takes a bunch of days, and you're left waiting for results. And every time you want to get an updated assessment, you have to start all over again. Bunch of days, waiting for results. What you really want to do is check out the health of your systems right now, and get expert results right away. Well, with Microsoft's RAP as a service, you can. RAP as a service is the most convenient and comprehensive way for you to assess your environment, putting you in the driver's seat. Need a pulse on how healthy your systems are? Check. Want insight on looming risks and threats? No problem. Looking for guidance on how to make your environment more bulletproof? You got it. Here's how it works. Using the RAP as a service assessment tool, you collect data on several aspects of your environment, all the information we'll need to do a complete assessment. You then upload all this information to the secure and private Microsoft RAP Expert Analysis System. You quickly get a full picture of how your environment is doing, risk areas that need your attention, and even tips on how to make things better. And because thousands of Microsoft technology experts make continuous inputs into the system, you get our latest and greatest guidance as soon as it's available. You'll meet with a Microsoft engineer who'll review the results with you and give you expert advice and a remediation plan tailored to your organization. Best of all, with RAP as a service, you get a full year subscription, so you can run these assessments at your convenience and anytime you're feeling iffy about your systems. Find out more about Microsoft's RAP as a service and get insight and peace of mind on your terms.
There we go. So hopefully that's provided a bit of an overview. I'll get rid of the crickets, but of what RAP is, or the aims of RAP, RAS. RAS itself as a concept has been around for 15 years or so within Microsoft. In the late 90s, early 2000s, we had customers who would ask us to provide an analysis of their environments or our assessments. We weren't quite as advanced in those days, so we used to send in an engineer, as the video said. In those days, it could be anywhere from 3 to 5 weeks. Somebody would be on site doing analysis, manually capturing performance logs, manually capturing event logs, configuration, and so on. Over time, we developed into the RAP platform, Risk Assessment Program. Exchange and AD were first around 2000-ish, 2003-ish, sorry. We then expanded that out, SQL, SharePoint, most of our main technologies at that time, IIS had one, Windows had one. We still sent the engineer in, but it was a much reduced time period. Now it was typically less than a week, depending on the size of the environment, possibly 2 or 3 days. The engineer would turn up a bunch of tools, run them, capture performance, capture event logs. Whilst that was started, the engineer would then often provide some sort of knowledge transfer, so chalk and talk session. Maybe on some of the problems you've been having, maybe you want some new feature conversations. That's kind of what they were there. The tools were doing their job of capturing the data, so the engineer was pretty much at a loose end. Once we captured the data, we'd send it up to the cloud. Analysis would take place. The next day, we'd have a report. But that's the remediation tasks that the engineer would then talk you through and present back to you, ultimately providing you a view of the risk of the environment. Excuse me. So RAP, OCS came along 2007-ish. For whatever reason, we didn't have a RAP. We had a health check. Same thing, exactly the same thing. We'd send an engineer to site. We'd capture the same performance event logs. We called it a health check. OCS R2 had one, and Link 2010 had a health check. In the background, we were developing this platform of RAS, RAP as a service, reducing the engineer's time of going on site, allowing the customer to align with when the data was being collected. So often we'd have engineers turn up on a Monday. Customer would have had a problem over the weekend, so they're not ready. Either the environment we're trying to assess isn't available because of whatever the problem was, or maybe they're having the time to build the machines that the engineer would need. Permissions often wouldn't be set. Maybe change control was needed because of whatever problems there'd been, so it'd take a few days. So taking all these steps out, RAS allows the customer to collect the data rather than send an engineer to site. So we still use tools, we still automate it, but the customer will do that on our behalf. And it means we're getting more reliable discovery and data collection. We're not sending people to site as a waste of time. So the table shows a bit of a comparison between our different offerings. RAP, typically from product to product, would have, certainly in OCS days, we would have 4 different sizes of RAP. So we would have 1 to 5 servers, 5 to 10, I think 11 to 20, and 20 plus. And we charge you accordingly based on that sized environment. So for OCS, we would have 4, but we had OCS R2, so we had another 4, and that gave us 8 different options based on a customer. But with our health checks, we couldn't, this was common across RAPs, we couldn't do multi-version support. So if you're in the middle of a migration, maybe you have a legacy pool or a legacy exchange server, whatever product it is, we have no way to assess both environments without charging you twice. So most people, that's not going to be a good thing. RAS alleviates that. It's version agnostic. So we have RAS for Link. It does 2010, it does 2013, it does a mixed environment. It is RAS for Link, so there's no OCS support. So we will flag OCS as in the environment, but we're not going to do any analysis based on that. So the other 3 columns here, RAS, RAS Plus, and RAS Offline, the difference really between them is RAS is our sort of nirvana. We don't want customers to be sort of working on our schedules based on when the engineer's going to site. You collect the data, you send it to us. Once we have it, we'll analyze it and get back to you. So we've been doing that for probably about 2 years, 3 years maybe. A lot of the feedback is the customers actually wanted the engineer on site because of the knowledge transfer piece. So they're seeing some customers want it, some don't. So we introduced RAS Plus. So we still have the normal RAS. It's remote. Customer collects the data. Engineer does analysis. We present remediation. But RAS Plus then is 2 days on site afterwards where we can go through in more detail what those remediation steps are, what the risks are to your environment. RAS Offline is addresses the scenario where we have maybe government, military, financial type institutions that don't want any data being sent up. So traditionally, the RAS, traditional RAS, RAS Plus, we don't, a bit like System Center Advisor and what Nick alluded to, we don't capture any private data, so anything that's going to identify a user. We just do not capture. But some customers don't even want server names being sent up, and that this is, addresses that. The other thing with RAS Offline is it is a 4-day on-site. So engineers actually helping you collect the data as well as doing the knowledge transfer. all the analysis is going to be carried out on site as well. So some of the other things to point out here, RAP is a sort of point-in-time transaction. We will go, we'll assess your environment, we'll give you a report. RAS is subscription-based. So whilst you only get the engineer and the remediation piece on the first execution, you have a year's license to run this as often as you like. And I'll show you, as we go through the demo, I'll show you some of the reasons and reports that we can get to show some trending out of it, to give you good reasons to run it. So that's RAS and RAS Plus, both are subscription-based. RAS Offline is not. You still are licensed to run it, but the difference in subscription and non-subscription is the update functions. As you're providing the data up to the cloud, you're also getting new rule packages back again, similar to Advisor. So we release updates on a monthly basis, typically bug fixes, minor changes. Any feature releases typically are on a quarterly basis. So this week, Sunday went live with our CQM content called Quality Methodology. So it's a deep dive, takes QoE data, so the quality of experience that we get out of the monitoring server, to the next level. And we have a couple of sessions that are in the last slide here that we refer to that we'll go into CQM in a lot more detail, but it's now part of RAS. So already we're getting customer feedback saying, what's CQM? Can you tell me about it? It's given us some more data. We need to analyze it. So any customer, we have somewhere over 50. I don't think we've quite hit 60 yet. Since October, all those customers are now eligible for CQM. All they have to do is download the next package and execute it, and we'll collect that. So in terms of the execution path, there's three real functions. I've mentioned the customer, data collection, and upload. Cloud for the analysis piece, and then the engineer for remediation, planning, and the report generation. More detail sort of around collection. What we're doing there, and we'll go through part of this in the demo, but we download our execution client package, which includes the client as well as a new rule set. That will carry out discovery, so we determine what our actual link environment is from the CMS and the topology. From there, we're going to run focused collection on different types of servers. So a front-end server is going to get a different data collection than a mediation server. And if you have both co-located, we'll collect both sets of data from the same one. So things we use to collect, PowerShell, WMI, SQL collection, performance counters, event logs, some file access. We actually read the contents of the file. In cases, we would typically use the get CS commandlets to get this data back. And again, as part of the demo, you'll see some of the results of that. But we step away from things like get CS user, which are customer private data, user private data. We do need for some of our roles to analyze that data. So we do all the analysis on the machine and then upload the result. So we'll provide a count of users that have been enabled or disabled, for example, rather than a list. That'll get uploaded to the cloud. Similarly, you saw in the video that there's sort of hundreds or thousands of people that contribute to the rules. We both use the same rule base. RAS has a lot more rules. We collect around 350 data collection points, but we have over 1,000 data analysis points. So all these recommended rules, data from CTS engineers, key health indicator content from the product group, TechNet articles, anything that is a Microsoft authored document is part of those rules somewhere, or will be, and the feedback that we get from the CTS folks. We do have, a common rule base. If one rule triggers on Advisor, it will trigger on RAS and give you the same result, and you'll see the same text. It will point you to the same pages. So we're getting away from, oh, BPA said this, but this other tool said that, and which one's right? We're all using that same rule base. So all we're highlighting here is this is what you get from the subscription. So you get the engineer once at the start, the first execution, but as an ongoing subscription, you can, as a minimum, data collection will take about 6.5 hours. Depends on your environment. 4.5 hours. Performance data we collect for a 4-hour period, so we have a minimum time. But depending if you have servers across the world, EMEA, Japan, wherever, it's going to take slightly longer because of the WAN. But there's nothing to stop you running collection and then running it again and again and again and continually uploading the data. as we need to. Analysis just happens. Whenever the data goes to the cloud, it gets analyzed. So demo. What have we done? Where's the mouse? Okay, so client. So here's one I've prepared earlier. The session we had this morning was a deep dive into RAS. So here, I'll go back and show you how discovery works, but for this point, we'll just talk about collection. So the first step is we're going to have discovered our environment, worked out the topology, and then the collectors are going to run. Usual sort of status bar. We have some details here. There's a couple of ways of looking at the collection we've carried out, either by target, so the actual nodes we've discovered, front-end servers, SQL servers, domains, whatever that happens to be, or by individual collectors themselves, so we could look at a specific collector. One of the things the customer is going to be required to do is address the prerequisites for running RAS in their environment. So things like permissions. Do we have permissions to read from SQL? We collect a lot of data from QoE and CDR, so we need an account with those permissions. WMI is used quite a bit, so is remote WMI or partial remoting, all those sorts of things, are they all enabled, or are we going to run into problems? Here we've run the collection, so this was the first session after the keynote this morning. I could work out how long it's taken, but it's taken at least 4.5 hours to get to this point. You can see here we have some failures. It's going to highlight the percentage. We can open up. We can see what has failed. We can click this. We'll see the error. Unexpected error. I prepared this, didn't I? We can go into more detail. So one of the things we have behind RAS, and when we get to the portal, we'll see a little bit of it, is there are support teams for you as a customer. You're required to get the data yourself, so you don't have an engineer helping you. But we have a support desk on the end of a web ticket that you would cut and paste this and send it through. So the one, that was a bad one to choose. We can, so if I just open that again. So we can just, whenever we go to the back to the page, we can just rerun the failed collectors. So anything that is failed, we're not running the full 4.5 hours unless performance has failed, at which point that will be part of it. But we can just highlight out what's failed. Here, if I click, there we go. By collector is a lot more relevant, I think, for most people. What we've done, there are six to eight prereqs that are needed for a link RAS. It will differ based on technology. So link, for example, needs the link admin tools. Exchange would need the exchange admin tools and that sort of thing. But we have somewhere between 6 and 8 prereqs. If any of those fail, you're going to have a minimum 2 failures. It's going to be the prereq will flag as a failure, but also whatever the dependent collector is. In things like WMI, we have a collector per server, so you will see hundreds of failures. But all the prereqs we run first, so we can give you as a customer very quickly, you don't have to wait 4.5 hours to know, I forgot to set the permissions, or I forgot to enable partial remoting. Everything is tagged here with the exclamation mark. So you'll see that. I know that. This particular one, Eddie Admin is not installed. Open that. Another. But here, I know the title itself tells me that's probably not. So we can just hit the refresh check and go back. Once we finish collecting, the next. It'll automatically verify the data and make sure. And then we can. Whenever you open it for the first time, it's going to ask you, it's going to present you with this screen, which will look like that. The other things that were in that drop-down menu are previous ones I've done. So the one I started this morning, because we have the data on the machine, it's detected that. I could pick up at any point where I've left off here. This particular item down here, import and submit data collected from another machine, is not the same as an offline RAS. This is where we have maybe an environment where the customer's happy to have the data sent to the cloud, but it just doesn't have an internet connection. So it might be a semi-restricted environment that you're not allowed to connect to the internet, but the data can be taken off and sent up. So we can have that capability as well through this. Through start assessment, I'm going to do here. This is the package of rules. What will we discover? So what types of servers? And by default, we're going to look for AD servers, Exchange servers, and Link servers, and SQL servers are our dependencies. And then what are we going to collect for each of those? That's all the intelligence based within that package. Ta-da. It should start automatically. But what it's going to do, continue where I left off. So it's detected that package has already been run. No, I don't want to continue where I left off. So it's going to go to AD. It's going to find where the CMS is. It's then going to connect to the CMS and read the topology. And then it's going to start processing all that. If we look at the details here, typically, if we start to see errors in this area of discovery, it's because permissions are firewalls. It's not because things like WMI haven't been set. It's just we can't connect to them. So those are all running. These are the sorts of things that we're going to look at. All the databases, quite often we'll see SQL Express errors because they're on other machines and we can't connect to them by default. So databases, IP addresses, very quickly there's Forrester and domain there. So we're gonna look at AD and see what other domains you have. We're constrained to the Forrester we're in. The machine we run this from has to be in one of the domains in that Forrester. That's how we're gonna find Link. But we're then going to find out all the link environments. So meeting URLs, simple URLs, pools, sites, servers, SQL, all those dependencies, backup pools, anything that you would configure within Topology Builder is going to be found by discovery. In theory, this should all have completed. Yep, all complete. Yep. Oh, no, still going. That's complete status. Yeah. Still going. So this would go, it would flag up any errors we have, maybe address those if we needed to, and then start collection, which we've already seen. So we can skip from this. So this is our portal. I don't know if you guys can read the URL, but it's services.premier.microsoft.com. You can log it, you can log, open that page. It's got lots of data sheets about what we offer as Premier. RAS is there. We also have Educate as a service with your video on demand, hands-on lab type content. But we're interested in the RAP as a service stuff. So I'm going to sign in. I'm an employee. This is going to be... Oh, it does work. I had problems out there with US keyboards and UK layouts, and I just couldn't find the backslash. So, but we're good. So I'm going to sign in. No, don't want to remember. We have three different views on the portal whenever you log in. There's a customer view, there's a TAM view, and there's an engineer view. Whenever I log in here, I'm both an engineer and a TAM, so I'll see slightly different perspective than you would see as a customer. But a lot of it's going to be the same. I just have a few additional things, like manage and provision is a TAM, technical account manager role, who can add additional users to the environment and provision additional services. And you'll see, as we go through the assessment, there's some engineer-only things like creating reports. So my assessment, here's one we prepared earlier. RAP as a service, we can see here, if I had multiple customers, so maybe I'm logged in as a TAM, I can see my whole list. If you're logged in as a partner that you manage lots of customers, you'll see your list of customers here as well. Our drop-down, so we, by default, will always look at the most recently submitted data and generate our reports and issues from that. We can go back and look at historical data. There's a big difference here between Advisor and RAS in that this is push, so we're not pulling the data like Advisor would do. every 12 hours, but this is every time you run this, it'll get pushed up. So if we go to the latest, a little bit of an overview. When we started, so it's a year subscription. The subscription starts from when you download the client and execute, not from when you upload your first time. So that's just something to be aware of, some tracking details that support would need. Submission status, you're not going to see this as a customer. This is purely engineering. So I can see maybe a customer's told me they've uploaded the data. There might have been a problem. So this is going to give me an indication here. If you've multiple technology RASs, you'll see them here. So for Link, you'll see one for Exchange. You'll see one for wherever. One of the things that was introduced last week is this new friendly name capability. So where that's useful is we have some customers where although they have a single global deployment, a global ID, a global link deployment, they're segregated off. So the US doesn't talk to, well, the rest of the world, if it's like us. But permissions-wise, so the CMS, everybody needs access to the CMS. That's a given. But you've got a US deployment, you've got an EMEA deployment, you've got admins on the own side. They don't sort of co-admin. Here, you could maybe highlight this is a North America environment. The discovery will stop where it doesn't have permissions, it can't collect the data. We will collect things from the CMS, so all the policies, configuration, or global items, so we'll see those. But we're only going to analyze the environments that we have access to collect. So you could maybe end up having multiple link RASs, but for different environments here. Download and run simply downloads the client. We've just executed, so I'm not going to go through those steps. Submission access key here is our encryption key. So whenever we're going to upload that data, we make sure it's encrypted by using this key. So the questionnaire, I didn't mention this in terms of the customer responsibilities, but the client that's downloaded has all the scripting to collect things automatically. There are items that we can't collect automatically. Do you have a change control system in place that manages link, for example? This is where we'll collect data around that. So operational type stuff, maybe information about DHCP configuration for your phone environment, load balancer information, anything we can't truly collect automatically is going to be asked here. If we go through, start again. So I've already completed this, so you'll see the answers already filled in. But it is simply multiple choice. Some you only can provide one answer. In this case, you might have multiple versions of Office. Depending on what you answer, you may have other questions. So if you picked Office 2007 here, it will then ask you what service pack for Office 2007. So it goes as detailed as we need to be. So if I go back. So collected data. So we have two types of data to look at, collected data and issues. Collected data here is first. This primarily, if I pick Enterprise Voice, so hopefully you can read that. I can't read it, but it's a git cs commandlet. It's just a configuration item. It's what was collected the last time we run this. Anytime we are going to analyze this and provide you an issue raised or an alert, that's going to be under the Issues tab. So here is purely reported data. Anything that is a get CS commandlet is pretty much what you'll see if you run that get CS commandlet. We do strip out any privacy type data, so you won't see get CS user. You won't see some of the response group stuff that refers to users, for example. Once we look at the report, if you looked at it in detail, you'd see a difference here. The portal holds more data. The reports we have are Word documents, so we're limited to our size of page. Some of the tables we do landscape, so we can fit more in. But ultimately, if you want the true data, the full view of what that data is captured, it's going to be here on the portal. So some of the useful or more interesting ones, I think. So these are just all grabbed together into categories. So server spec, for example. So server hardware. Server name, FQDN, domain it's in, virtualized or not, useful, number of processors, logical processors, and memory. So whenever we actually publish the virtualization guides, we're going to have rules that will map this into issues or not as that goes. So other ones, So this is quite a useful one. You know, let's say you've patched your Link environment. Let's say you have 20 servers throughout the world. You know, six in one post, six in another. I'm pretty sure I patched them all, but it was late, so maybe I didn't. If you run RAS, it will tell you exactly what patch level each of those servers is going to be, so it'll be very obvious that you've missed one. It will also flag that as an alert to say one server is out of sync in a pool. Here's what we see. So we also have that in SQL. So we'll break that down and show you all the different SQL versions, as well as the SQL Express versions as well. A lot of customers just think you have to patch SQL, but SQL Express is there as well to be done. Now, the sort of, definitely from my perspective, the more interesting ones are all the usage statistics. So how many users logged in? What size conferences are we having? You know, all the way down, there's quite a few here. Firmware, gateway firmware, so we can get that from the QoE database. So although we can't actually query a gateway itself, we know whenever a user's made a call, that firmware is tracked in the QoE database. So we can tell you the last call made through every gateway, the firmware versions that are on that gateway, which, again, can be quite useful if you're doing patching. All the media quality stuff is CQM content. So these are reports based on the quality. Trending, this is where we start to look at the trending capabilities. We look at previous day, previous 3 days, previous week, previous month, previous quarter, and previous year. So you can start to see how your environment is performing over those time periods. If you run this on a Monday and a Friday, you'll start to be able to see a comparison throughout a week as well. Obviously, Monday, if you're closed on a Sunday, it's not going to be very busy for previous day, but you can start to see the trend for the previous week and see how that's going to build up. Some of the other things that are useful, client OSs. So what actual OSs are running in the environment? We'll flag up things like out of support, XP. Is it 2 months, 6 weeks or something? We stop that. So we're going to flag up alerts around that. So we'll skip, running a bit short on time. We'll skip to the issues. So this is now where we've collected all the data. How do we present that back? Our best practice, recommended practice, our guidance. Other customers have had problems. They're all going to feed into those rules and alert systems. We can filter here different types. Critical, high, medium, low. We also have an informational bracket as well. So some things we'll just highlight. As this is in your environment, it's not a problem, but you should probably be aware of it. For each of them, so let me pick a couple. So the first one I wanted to highlight is the low one. One or more servers are not integrated with System Center Advisor. So we're not trying to compete with each other here. There is a combination and parallelism. You know, the configuration change history aspects for a good start. But here, three bits to every issue were relevant. So description. Description is also going to tell you a count, so how many servers are affected. For some issues, we're going to tell you what sort of percentage that is of your environment. So four servers have not got the agent on it. Here's the four servers. So you can see exactly which ones you need to fix. Down here is a bit more links information. They're always going to refer to TechNet, some sort of article, maybe a support article, maybe advisory. But more information. Why is this relevant? Why should you care? Do you care? Maybe you haven't deployed, in this case, System Center Advisor. You don't want to. Fine. As an engineer, I can change that informational. That'll be saved. I can just say, you know what? Let's take it out of the report. There's a tick box. I'm not going to report. As a customer, we've had that conversation. You're not interested. There's no point. So we'll get classifications or risks. Generally, risks, performance counter issues are going to be health because they're typically live impact. When we first collected this item, when we last changed it, that sort of info. Let me pick a few others. So performance counter. In this case, we're going to tell you that we've seen this trigger on one server in the environment. It's 25%, whatever it happens to be. What performance counter is it? So between 2010 and 2013, we changed the name of every single performance counter, which is a bit of a pain whenever you have rules that deal with each of those. But we highlight you know, the problem is still going to be the same, whether it's a 2010 count or 2013. So we'll have the generic text that tells you what the problem is, but then we'll tell you what version it is and what performance counter to look at. Type of threshold, in this case, in between. Most of them are greater than or less than type, but we'll tell you the threshold values as well, and then the actual values that we captured over that four-hour period, minimum, maximum, and average. Performance counters are really, really hard for an engineer to provide feedback because it's a four-hour period. We weren't on site. We don't know what your business is doing in that four-hour period. Is it your end of month? Is it your end of week and your sales are going to... We don't know. So typically, you'll see advice there being monitor this over a period of time. Other ones, for example, this one is another one to highlight. One or more domain admins have been enabled for link. So domain accounts shouldn't be enabled. Let's go to the info here. In this case, one account has been highlighted. This is a potential privacy risk. So we're not capturing the user data or the username. That would be really useful if we told you what account it was, because you could just go and fix it. So instead of being able to capture a list, we give you a script. You can run that script, and it'll tell you what account is flagging this. So we are not capturing the data. We're analyzing it. We're capturing the count, and we're telling you how to find it, which saves our privacy concerns. And again, just more links and stuff here. Maybe the ad issue here is for, maybe as part of our conversation, our remediation planning, or we've been talking, you've flagged up a concern about something. We might not have a rule for it yet. I can add a custom issue, so I can just put in whatever text that we want to say, this might be a problem, high, medium, low, whatever. We're good there. The reports aspect, so from a customer perspective, you're going to see view reports rather than manage. As an engineer, I manage them, I create them. So we have a CQA in this case, detailed in-depth analysis of those call quality, methodology, content, and graphs, and reporting. Link RAS, this is the report you'll see, and we have one we'll show in a second. The all issues shows items that we haven't flagged as an issue, but things that we've checked against, so they've passed ultimately. They're not a concern, so they're not highlighted critical, high, medium, and so on. And then the presentation. So this Word doc, the link RAS, if we can highlight that. Oh, it didn't work. So link RAS is the Word doc. It's detailed as a minimum. So this environment has, I think, four servers. We're talking 200, 250 pages worth of content. Nobody's going to read that, let's be honest. As much as the effort I put into it, nobody will read it. The presentation is the PowerPoint, it's the summary, and we'll flick quickly back to that. If I can find my decks, where are we? Too many windows. So we've done the demo client. Portable, 2 minutes left. We'll get through this. So some of the other reports I just wanted to call out. We looked at this type of report. This is just QoE, but it's more the trending, the previous day, 3 days. You can see as things develop on your network. This one's from a live customer, so I had to black that out. But this one I find, when talking to customers, is really interesting. How many people know the average size of your meeting? You know, in the OCS days, we did a sort of public analysis. We got somebody in. Most meetings, on average, 2.6 people were in any given meeting. This is actual proof that 65% of this company's meetings had less than 10 people. So you can start to provide ROI. You can start to sort of derive stuff from that. Client usage as well. So we have, you know, you can see the number of pages here, 10 items per page. We're talking over 100 different clients are connecting. Maybe your environment is really locked down, but you federate with other people. You can see what clients are being used to federate as well. So, right near at the end of time. So very quickly, so this is just a report. It's in our test environment, so it hasn't got its name there, but really the sorts of things here, all those issues that we saw, all those configuration items are in this. The bits really that we highlight out, the yellow and red is for the engineer to fix. So here, we write an executive summary. We're going to summarize this whole report into about half a page to three quarters of a page. What's the risk of your environment? What's the impact is going to be? Not execs tend not to be interested in how to fix it. That's the admin's job, and it'll come at the back of the doc. But here is something you can take from this assessment and pass it up the management chain. We have nice arrows that highlight the overall risk. Scorecard items, all managers like scorecards. So we have no issues, green, high, critical. These are just at the generic level. Further down, we break it down. So we'll highlight each of those issues that are going to actually fall into those categories. I'm conscious I've run over time, but anybody who wants a book needs to stay. Ha-ha, that's how to keep them, mate. So the other thing I really wanted to call out here, performance. So we have a performance section. We include lots of graphs here. So we'll show you things like CPU, memory, disk, number of calls in flight, incoming, outgoing, concurrent, all that sort of stuff. If you actually want the content, it's on the portal. It's just a page for the numbers. Ultimately, but here we used to have it in the doc and it was 400 pages, so we cut that out. So very quickly, I'll skip the PowerPoint. It's just what you saw in PowerPoint. So over the past sort of 4 months, we released early October, 2013 support initially. We did support 2010 configuration items and analysis of those. We didn't include performance counters. That was added in December. We also standardized reporting. This week, as I say, we just released it Sunday, CQM content, so that's all included. And what's coming next is increasing the scale. So today we support up to 50 servers. It's not to say it won't work beyond that, but we've tested 50. We know it works. Risks will be things like performance counters and event logs, all the configurations in the CMS, so we can get that. We know we'll get that stuff, but that's what you'll probably miss. And also the offline capability is what's coming next. So how do we get RAS? Really, it's always delivered from Microsoft. So it's a Microsoft product, it's a Microsoft-hosted site and service. If you have a Premier contract, you can just speak to your account manager and get this delivered. It's through Microsoft, it's going to be delivered direct from us. If you don't have a Premier contract, or you do have a Premier contract and you're an outsourced or managed service from a partner, it can be delivered with the partner. From that perspective, again, the partner can sell it, but we'll still deliver it. And the difference between direct Microsoft and via partner is if it's a managed service and you want the partner to see the data, it's the via partner route. If you want purely customer Microsoft relationship and only you will see the data, it's a direct Microsoft route. And that's pretty much what we get to. So very quickly, we're not going to talk through this. We just wanted a generic slide. We've talked about, I don't know, many tools we've talked about and offerings we have. But this is really an idea of, we talk RAS, flag, system center advisors, not there. They're complementary. We use the same rule sets. There are different services behind each. You get an engineer with a RAS, you get performance, you get that sort of thing. You get SCOM integration with system center advisor, and it's free, so there's honestly no reason why you shouldn't have it. Other things, BPA provides an online capability. Our other tools don't do that yet. It will be coming. There's a bit of an idea of rules and coverage that we have. So we didn't get exact numbers, but RAS is in and around 1,000 to 1,100 roles down to the likes of the resource kit, where every single tool targets one thing pretty much. So this will be in the decks and video. So very quickly, the review, we looked at the proactive tools, RAS and Advisor primarily, but also the resource kit, architecture of how those work. So hopefully you all have an understanding of how you can leverage those. Hopefully, very quickly on RAS, but the clarity on the benefits of where each will apply and what type of scenario. And then some of the resource kit stuff we just wanted to highlight. They are there. They are useful. You won't use them every day, but they are there. Related sessions, so there was a RAS deep dive this morning. We had that here for the recording, so you guys can go back and watch it if you missed it. We're doing this again tomorrow. We'll have another book, so if you're really unlucky and don't get this one, there will be one more. Please come back. A generic Premier support, so what sort of options we have. If anybody's familiar with the PSLP offering that we had, it's along the lines of how's that evolved, what's new, what's coming, So that's tomorrow morning. And then CQM stuff, if you're honestly serious about call quality, attend those two sessions. They'll give a very deep dive into CQM. Apologies for running late. Anybody got any questions at this point?
So we just had our RAS engineer meeting with all of his findings and the report.
Yep.
How often after that should we run the report itself until we can date ourselves?
So as a minimum, we're going to be releasing updates every month. So as a minimum, every month. If, on the other hand, you see value out of some of the reporting, the trend in the usage stats, run it as often as you need or want. So as a minimum, every month to get those new updates, but it's up to you if you run it more regularly than that. Really, we see it as becoming part of your standard operations for Link. So whether it's a weekly task or monthly, yeah,
whatever.
Yep.
Is there anything that can report, hey, these five things were changed in this 12-hour period?
So in that historical view, you could see, but there's nothing that reports or send. You'd have to go server to server and see what changed.
Okay.
And there's some things that, so dates will change. So it will show, hey, the last timestamp when OAB was generated. And so that's, you know, not super important, but it will show up. So it's easier to know what you're looking for, but you can go to the portal and kind of skim and see.
So we are going to hang around if anybody's got any other questions, but we'll get this book random given out done, and then people can leave. So we did talk about how we were going to do this. We did think about the best question, but only one question really has been asked. So we previously decided we weren't going to do that. Also, Nick did think about the best dressed, wacky dressed person, but we didn't send out the invites, so we didn't get that done either. So what we have ended up with is today is the 18th of February. Who has got their birthday closest to today?
February 15th.
Can any?
Nine.
Now, I'll point this out also. Tomorrow we'll be using a different date, so just don't come back. Don't think so. Happy birthday is the best we can come out with.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.